a number of years ago, I had an experience where I could no longer just refer to God as He. I had an experience where this divine love that we've been speaking about came in the form of she, and it brought a particular quality or the attributes of wisdom, beauty, and goodness. So in my work with people and the practices that I give and the meditation that I do with people, we work primarily with praise and devotion, remembrance of God, and we work with light and we work with love. And as you know, God is not he or she, and the one is definitely not he or she. And for a long time, and I still do when I refer to the truth, I'm usually speaking of God as He, where a great deal of perfection is required of you. And I found through my experience that when you're willing to let that go a bit, there's this gap or this crack where some light can come in. And you start to see that there is this divine feminine energy that has a very powerful love connected to it. And it was my undoing. So when I speak about annihilation or any of these things, I'm also speaking of God when it took the face of she. Some of you know what I'm speaking about, and I'm sure some of you don't. That's going to be on the tape, you know. And as you know, she has been quite marginalized for thousands of years. And so part of my work is to remember she as well as he. And so through my training, it's quite easy for me because I had a path that was very much connected to truth and a path that was very much connected to love. So when this merging and mingling started for me, and when they came together and all dissolved and there was no he or she, it was extremely difficult, and it still is for me to sit in a room and have God spoken about as he most of the time. So I'm here to, you know, help people to remember that there is a divine feminine aspect to God. And for me, I call her love, the holy essence, she. She has a lot of names, the Lady of Silence. It's a very still, empty quality that you go into. And so the meditation that I do with people, for the most part, it's be still, awake. And you go into a very watchful, waiting state, and you knock at the Beloved's door. And this comes from part of my experience. I was given this poem, and one of the verses in the silence of the night comes the unknown she whispering, "Sweetly, come dance with me." And so I decided to take this invitation to dance, and I knocked on the Beloved's door, and it was opened for me. So this part where you knock on the Beloved's door. It's a particular quality of surrender that you do. You're willing to go into this unknown aspect. There isn't a lot written. It's only about experience. So your mind isn't going to be able to conjure anything up. It's kind of, there isn't a lot of conditioning around it. It's an empty container. So I accepted this invitation to dance. So if you knock at the Beloved's door, there's that potential for you. And this meditation, it's a heart meditation. And within your chest are many subtle centers, the heart being one of them. So we turn our awareness inward toward the light divine. And then we ask that our consciousness be filled with the bounties and blessings of love. So it's a very simple meditation. And some of you are doing some form of this already, whether if it's you're just taking your awareness, which is usually up here for most people, and just dropping it into your chest area or your heart. Like I said, there are other subtle centers in your chest other than your heart. And some people take years just sitting in their heart, and these other centers never really get activated. So this particular meditation is designed to really be done in your chest, and you drop your whole awareness in, and so the soul can be activated, and the secret and the hidden and the most hidden. So it's a quite simple meditation. A lot of people use a breath to bring their awareness into their heart, and they just rest there on that breath. And it's obviously, it's not the breath where you do with your physical body, otherwise you would die. So that's one way. I had one person in California, a surfer, said he felt it was very much like getting on his board and riding a wave. So if that works for you, that's good. For me, it was always, I just turned my attention. And if I started to wander away, then I just bring it back to my heart or my chest. So I think we'll sit in meditation for a little while, and then we can have some questions and answers. And if anyone wants to know anything more, we can speak about it. I guess I should also mention that this meditation has a transmission to it. So if you are receptive, you'll be able to receive it. And that's just a, you know, spiritual energy, and I'm sure you've been feeling it all weekend. Well, he took my clock away. It's okay. I've thought we would sit for a half hour because I know that some people aren't used to sitting very long. or this power of love that we've been speaking about all weekend. And when you sit in a tradition with a live transmission, and you sit in meditation or maraqabah, whatever you do, you're actually receiving this love. And so it's coming into your heart and it's transforming you. So it's working with you. And so whatever insight and intuition or revelation that comes during the meditation, you can actually take that and remember it, or if you were given something that needs to be shifted or changed in your life, then you make an effort to do that. Or if there's been a vision and it seems that there's absolutely no way you would ever begin to know how to walk that into manifestation, you make the intention to at least try. And hopefully more will be revealed to you so that you can. So there's many different ways to work with this power of love that, you know, gives you insight and whatever. And as it's transforming you, obviously, you get more and more. So just by sitting in the chair, and, you know, a lot of us don't have time to do that. You have busy schedules, or you're working too much, or there are many things that have to be done. So, you know, you forget and lose your thread of remembrance. So just by simply sitting in the chair and doing your meditation or your zikr or whatever, this love gets activated. And so there's simple things like that that you can do until the full force of it comes and you find yourself in the midst of, you know, a true transformation, not just where you're changing, but where you're actually being undone. So does anyone have any questions?
Yeah, you just said, you know, just to pay attention for this little thing you can do until the moment where true transformation comes, and then...
And then you're just in the midst of it. It just, you know, it's an unraveling or a dismantling. And I make a distinction between change and transformation, because change you can actually participate in. You can have some insight into an obstacle that's in your way along the path. It can be a simple obstacle as anger. And so you can make an effort to, you know, look into that and see what is perhaps in back of that or behind it. And you can actually dismantle that yourself a lot of the time. But with transformation, it's a different kind of dismantling. And most of the time you couldn't use words to even describe what is going on during the process. But yet in this reality we can see the caterpillar to the butterfly. And it's like that. You're just no longer a caterpillar, but you can't exactly say how you got to be the butterfly, even though it's far easier to understand how a cocoon and that whole process, and it's actually quite beautiful if you look into it. And I use it often to speak to people, because there's actually a substance inside of the cocoon that helps in the process of, you know, getting out of this cocoon. And I'm pretty sure it's the same for us. There is this substance or this goo that's, you know, helping everything to move along just the way it should. And this is where faith and trust and hope, you know, can be very useful on the path, especially if you find yourself, you know, without hope, or, you know, you've been at this for 20 years and that brick wall is still staring you in the face. But there's something about that brick wall that has come up recently. This idea, when I talk about you're knocking at the beloved's door, and most of you know now that you've been given an invitation to this dance. We've been speaking about it for years now in just about every tradition in some kind of way, that there is this sort of opening that's somewhat available. But I've found that, you know, in sitting with people, and especially when I sit for many days, when, you know, hour after hour you're just sitting in this energy and being transformed by it, that they have the invitation, they arrive at the door, they know there's a dance, but there's these, this one woman said she had these two huge steps, and she was very tiny, and she was going to have a ladder to get to the two steps that would get her to the door. And I thought, it's already being conditioned that you have to climb to this door. So there's something going on with all of this where, you know, everyone's conditioning is starting to, it seems, close things again, which I find kind of fascinating. Because this door, it was literally a knock and it opened. Just like if your neighbor invited you to dinner, you wouldn't get to the dinner and expect that you'd have to find a ladder, get up these two big steps, and then hope, you know, that, you know, they'll hear your knock because this door is so big. So I found that kind of fascinating, and there have been a few people that have said it's this difficulty of knocking at the door, that, you know, the surrender for some reason, or they're not good enough to have this invitation, so how could they possibly get to the door and it would open? And these are very old thought forms that I had kind of hoped hadn't moved with everything, but it does seem to be coming up for some people. So know that the invitation's there and that the door opens, and when you do, this is the part where you drop into your heart or your chest, whatever.
When the door opens, is it scary?
Well, it's an unknown. You know, it's kind of fascinating because there's this anxiousness, but there's also, you know, butterflies. There's just all of these, you know. And I had a very adventurous spirit, and I was very curious, so it helped me a great deal. But if you have a lot of fear, then it might be kind of difficult for you, because there's this vast blackness when the door opens. So for most people, I mean, some people maybe not, but...
Well, so then maybe I can change the word scary for exciting.
Yeah. Or it's the same when you sit in meditation. In a particular kind of way, when I say watchful and being and waiting, but there's an anticipation, because you've asked for the bounties and blessings of love to come to you. So, you know, hopefully, you know, through faith or trust, you're somewhat anticipating, you know, these bounties and blessings to come to you. A receptive heart, you know, if your heart's receptive.